Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Brahmas is daf Chaf Dalet. Okay, we begin today in Chaf Beis Amid Beis, and we're going to get right into the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss a topic which really is not connected so much to the mitzvah of Yibum, but we've been discussing the Arayis, we've been discussing the Shnios. We finished the Arayis, we finished the Shnios. The Mishnah that we did in Chaf Beis Amid Aleph had a discussion of somebody who has either mamzer as a brother or as a child, and whether that's going to obligate or exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam, and the answer to both of those is yes, it will. And then, so we've been talking a lot about the Arayah, so we're going to be just spending the first part of today's shir focusing on two psukim in the Torah. Take a look in Parshas Achrimos, I have it open, and take a look at two psukim, and let's put the two psukim side by side. We're in Perk Yud Ches. First, I'll read Pasuk Test. Pasuk says, Ervas Achoscha, the Parsha of Achrimos obviously deals with the union of Arayos, so it's the women who are prohibited, mainly family members. So the Pasuk says, Ervas Achoscha, the Erva of your sister, Bas Avicho Bas Imecha, either she's a sister because of a paternal relationship or a maternal relationship, Moledes Bais and Moledes Chos, whether she was born in the house or outside the house, Lo Sigala Ervasan. Okay, that's a prohibition. That's one issue in the Torah. And then I'm going to skip one pasuk, and I'm going to go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. What does Pasuk Yud Aleph say? Ervas basa eshes avicha, the erva of the daughter of the wife of your father, Meledes Avicha, who was born to your father, Achos Chahi, she's your sister, Lo Sigala Ervasam. One's not allowed to reveal her erva. In other words, that's another issue, it's another erva. That's another one of the Arayas. The obvious question is, let's just articulate the question. The Pasuk and Tess and Pasuk Yud Aleph seem to be describing the same woman, meaning basically your sister. So what we're going to be dealing with for the first part of today's shiur is, what do you do with these two Pasukim which seemingly are redundant? Let's go right to the Gemara. Gemara on Chav Beis Amid Beis. We start with the Braisa. Tana Rabbana Abba Chosavi Baseisha Savicha. Man has relations with a woman, and she is Bash Eshes Avicha. Before I begin the Braisa, let's make one observation, which is important because you'll see that becomes a big factor in this discussion. I'm going to go back to Pasuk Test, and I'm going to read the Pasuk again, and tell me what you noticed. Erva Sachoska Bas Avicha Bas Imecha, the erva of your sister, whether she is your father's... whether she shares a father, she shares a mother, Moles Bais, Moles Chos, she was born in or outside the house, Lo Sigala Ervasan. Okay? What do you notice about this Pasuk as opposed to Pasuk Yud Aleph? Meaning even though both of them are describing your sister, so there's no marriage actually being described in the Pasuk Tess. Tess is talking about a sister, but not in the context of marriage. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ervas Bas Eishes Avichas. So they're describing a sister in the context of a marriage. Okay, so now... Now let's begin. So the Braisa says, "Abal achos vehi bas eishes aviv." Man has relations with a sister, and she's also not only your sister, but the daughter of the woman married to your father. I know it's a circuitous way of saying your sister. So chay mishum achos mishum bas eishes aviv. So the Tanakhama says, "Okay, you know what happened? You violated two Isurim in the Torah." Meaning, granted that it sounds like they're the same woman, it is. But there's two ways to get to that woman. Either you could describe her as being your sister or being the daughter of the woman married to your father. So the Tanakhama says that by having relations with her, you violated two Isurim in the Torah. It's not the first time. It's been many times where the Gemara notes that one action can result in two Isurim. And so here also, one action can result in two Isurim. Consequently, what does that mean? It's two Isurim, meaning it's the same act. So what does that mean? So it means a number of things. And it means that if you did it b'shogig, if you did it inadvertently, so you'd have to bring two carbon chatzuses. Remember, we're talking about arayis. Arayis is an issur kares. So issur kares done intentionally, you get kares. Issur kares done unintentionally. Unintentionally means b'shogig. In a better English translation would be inadvertently. You weren't aware. You weren't aware of the pasuk in the Torah. Hard to imagine. Not that hard to imagine. You weren't. You're right. In today's day and age, you weren't aware she was your sister. Shogeg. So if there was a lack of awareness, if it was inadvertent, so you have to bring a carbon chatzus. Now that we're identifying that it's not one isur, but it's rather two isurim, so you have to bring two carbon chatzuses. That's where this discussion would manifest the most. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Chayav Ella Mishum Achoso Bilvad Velo Mimnei Bas Eishes Aviv. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only chayav one isur and not two isurim. Okay, And so for really a good amount of daf now, the rest of this Amud, till the bottom of the next Amud, what we're going to be doing is the classic discussion of what do the two Tanaim do with the two Pesukim? What does each do with the other drashas, the other Pesukim? We're just going to keep going back and forth. So I'm going to go through it quickly, but let's see if I can try to be clear on this issue.
If we had one mother, it would be only one love.
If it,
it's the same mother. It's, well, that's just one.
In other words, maternal sisters, paternal
sisters. Only had one wife.
That doesn't seem...
Because I hear them, that the boy was born from the second wife.
Okay.
If it's one wife.
Could be. Let's see. So my time out Rabbanan. So first the Gemara says, okay, let's first understand the world from the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Michti. The Gemara says, okay, look. So one pasuk says, she's your sister, either the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother. So what do you do with pasuk Yadav? So the Tanakhama says, pasuk test, pasuk Yadav. The two Pesukim speak about such a woman, and so therefore when one has relations with his sister, who is also the daughter of his father's wife, so it's an Isser, meaning not just one Isser, but rather two Isser, one reflective of Pasuk Tes, the other reflective of Pasuk Gedalf. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amakra, Achoscha, He. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, no, because look at the end of Pasuk Gedalf. The end of Pasuk Gedalf describes her as being Achoscha, He. Right, she is your sister. Now the word he, we know classically, every time the word he comes up, it's a miut. It's an exclusionary term. No, in other words, the one iser, the only iser that one is violated is achos, so not bas eshes aviv. So now the Chachamim can't ignore the fact that the word he is an exclusionary term. What do they do with the word he? So what they do with that pasuk is they need that pasuk to teach me that one would be chayev on a sister who shares both parents. Meaning, it's odd, but the Torah, when describing one sister, describes only one of two scenarios. Either she's your sister because you share a father, or she's your sister because you share a mother. Now I know this is funny, but let's speak it out. What if she shares both parents? Meaning what we would call here a full sister, not a half sister. So let's say she shares both parents. Okay, so you'd be chayev, right? And let's think about it logically. If she shares only one parent, so one would be chayev for having relations with her, the sinister kares. So if you're sharing both parents, alach has kama v'kama. That's a simple logical argument. That's what we call kavachomer. Good. Ein onshim en adin. Great, it is a kavachomer, and it's a very solid kavachomer. Hard to think of a pircha, of any question that one can ask on such a logical argument. I'm sure if we try, we can come up with one. But it's hard. I mean, that's a very strong logical argument. But if the Torah doesn't say it, no punishment can be meted. Punishment can only be handed out by Beis Din only if the pasuk says a black on white. So what the Chachamim do with the words Achos Chahi, that pasuk is coming to teach me that even if she is sharing both parents, both mother and father, so there's going to be an Isser there as well. So and that's exactly the point. There is no Isser in the Torah that can be created just through a Kavachomer. So in Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is counted to that as follows. I agree with your point. The Torah could have communicated that idea just by writing the word achoscha. He lamali. Why does the Torah then have to add the additional word he? So that extra he is coming to tell me that when one has relations with a sister, he's only violating one Isser, not two Isserim. And the Chachamim say, no, they're both necessary. Why? Because maybe we could have concluded as follows. Really, the default position in the Torah is that you can generate an Isser through a logical argument. And why did the Torah say achoscha? Meaning, achoscha is superfluous. The Torah already tells me that one is not allowed to have relations with a woman who you share the same father with. The Torah tells me that one is not allowed to have a relationship with a sister who you share the same mother. So now, achoscha. Okay, I get it. She's your sister. Why does Torah say achoscha? So we have an idea that the Gemara speaks at a number of times. Yeah, the kavachomer would have led us to the conclusion that if you share both parents with her, it's going to be an Isser. That's an erva. That, and sometimes the Torah does that. Sometimes, even though we could have generated through a Kav HaChomer, Torah v'kasav leikra, the Torah goes out of its way to write it anyway. Kasav rechmani he, and that's why the Torah tells us the word he, to tell me no, that without the word he, you cannot generate Isurim through a Kav HaChomer. Achoscha, he's coming to tell me that she is your sister, meaning even the one who you share both parents with, mother and father, there's not going to be a prohibition as well, and don't extend this anywhere else in the Torah. Meaning we don't have a concept in the Torah where I can generate an Isser based on a Kav HaChomer. Only if the Torah says it straight out. So Rav Yos, Rav Yehuda would say, no, if I agree with you, the Chachamim, that the Achos Chahi is to tell me that generally in Mazir Menadin, I would have taken this phrase, Achos Chahi, not have left it in Pasuk in Aleph, but moved it back to Pasuk Tes, because Pasuk Tes is the Pasuk that's describing, the first Pasuk that's describing having relations with one sister, and it's Pasuk Tes that describes Bas Avicha, O Bas Imecha. So it's back in Pasuk Tes where this point could have been made much clearer that not only if you share one parent, but even if I share both parents, still you're going to be chayef. Right? And again, it could have been deduced through a Kav HaChomer. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says that point would have been better made had this phrase been back in Pasuk Tes. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, hay bas eishes avicha me'avid lei. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says that one has relations with a sister, so it is one love, not two loving. Even though the Pasuk is repeated once in Pasuk Tes and the other one time in Pasuk Yud Aleph, but nevertheless, he believes that it's one love, not two loving, and it's based on the Mi'ad, based on the exclusionary term of Achos Chahi. So now, the Gemara has a simple question. What do we do with the Eishes Avicha? Meaning in Pasuk Yud Aleph, that seems to be superfluous. No, mi baile mi sheish lo ishos avicha ba prat la choso mi shivcha ba avos kochem kochem shein ishos la avicha ba. So the Gemara says ishos avicha is coming to make another point, which is as follows: a sister to you is only going to be defined when your father has relations and a child with a woman that theoretically is in the world of ishos, can be married. If it's a shivcha or avos kochavim, so there's no marriage, there's no institution of marriage with such a woman between a Jew and these women, and therefore the resulting child, even though biologically is your sister, halachically has no status as your sister, and such there would be no iser kares, it's not an erva to have relations with a sister whose mother is either a shivcha or an avedes kochavim. That's what the pasuk says when it is communicating, when it says eishes avicha, a woman who is unable to have ishes. Now the Gemara develops this idea. So as soon as I get back to the place, we're in Chav Beis Amud Beis, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says maybe the exclusionary term is coming to exclude a woman who is not married to your father, meaning child is perfectly Jewish, just born out of wedlock. So Ahila Matsasamra Midarava, the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Meaning that she cannot be excluded from the Parsha of Arayus. The Rava Ramiksi Verva Bas bin Chal Bas Bitecha Lo Sigala. So Rava says, let's take a look at two other Pesukim in the Parsha of Arayus. One Pasuk says that the Erva of Bas Bincha, the daughter of your son, O Bas Bitcha, the daughter of your daughter. Okay, or what we would call the granddaughter. Lo Sigala. Ha Bas Binadi Da. Ubas bita dida shari. Why we give an indication that that's only under your name, not your name, but your lineage, meaning it's your granddaughter, it's your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. What if it's your wife's daughter or your wife's daughter's daughter? So seemingly from that pasuk would be mutter, but that can't be because we have another pasuk. Ervas eishes isha ubita lo sigala es bapita es bas bina. We have another pasuk that clearly indicates that your wife's daughter and granddaughter are also going to be an erva to you. So when you put these two pasukim side by side, can be where one is excluding the other when I have both pasukim clearly prohibiting as an erva. One's daughter, one's wife's daughter, one's granddaughter, one's wife's granddaughter. So ha-ketza, so how do you conflate these two psukim? Kanbons and kamenisuin, the Torah is there coming to teach us that it does not matter if the child was born in or out of wedlock. Meaning, if the child is born in wedlock, so obviously that's your child. if the child is born out of wedlock, it's biologically your child, but even if it's not, even if it was done out of wedlock, it's still going to be an erva. So we know that arayos, even if the arayos are produced by parents who were not married to one another, still that falls under the category of arayos. So here also, if your sister is your sister, even though mom and dad are not married, so nevertheless, she's your sister in a halachic sense, and there's going to be an iser of arayos. Well, maybe, this is now topic of Gimel Aleph, maybe the exclusionary term is coming to tell me that if mom and dad are prohibited to one another through a lav, let's say mom's a mamzeres, or a host of other examples. So the ema pras lachayv alav, prat lachayv alavin, amra papa chayv alavin, tafse bukadushin, dechsiv kisiyan alish shtey nashim, achas ova vachas nua. So no, because we cannot be excluding such a marriage, such a union, because even though the Torah prohibits that union, it's still a union. The Torah acknowledges that there is such a union, even though the Torah prohibits such a union. There's tfisas kedushin. And the Gemara just gives us the source. How do we know that this is so? Because the Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Kisetzi, describes, Kisi enali shtei nashim, a man has two wives, achas ova v'achas nua, one who is loved and one who is hated. V'chi yesh avu lefnei amakum v'yesh nua lefnei amakum. Now, it's true in the world of human relationships, there's some women you like and some women you don't like. That's certainly true. But the Torah describing a woman who's liked and a woman who's not liked, what is the Torah doing not liking someone? Gemara explains, Ela avava b'nisua, snua snua b'nisua. It's not describing the woman herself. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves everyone. Okay, that's my Hasidic message of the day. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves everyone, but it's the union that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like. Meaning that one union is sanctioned by the Torah, and another union is not. Meaning, he violated a law in the Torah. V'amar rechman kisiyena, and yet the Torah describes it as Havaya. Right, we'll see this in Kedushin again and again. Havaya is the description of marriage. Marriage works even if you marry someone who the Torah prohibits. That's the snua mentioned in the pasuk. Good. So that means now that even if the union between the man and the woman is a lav, still the resulting child is halachically your sister. The resulting girl that's born is halachically your sister, and therefore there'd be a violation of arayos if one has relations with such a woman. Ve'ema prat lachayve krisus. So the Gemara says, okay, what if mom and dad are prohibited to each other through an iser kares? Okay, now we're upping the stakes. So now, granted, the child that's resulting is a mamzer, but that's or a mamzeris, but that's not the point. The point is that such a resulting child, is that your sister? Is that halachically your sister? So Amarav, Amakrai, Vasachoscha, Basavecho, Basi Mechamalas, Bayis, Omalaschot. So right, I left that part of the pasuk untranslated. I just simply said, born outside. What does that mean? Doesn't matter whether we say to the father, it's okay, keep it, or hotse, or no, don't keep it. Meaning, that's not a marriage, it's an iser kares. And still, the resulting child that comes out is your sister, halachically. So the Gemara says, look, now, at this juncture, we're saying that even if the relationship between mom and dad are either a lav, even an iser kares, still the resulting children halachically are brother sister. And if the kids have relations with one another, they're violating an erva of achoscha. So now at this juncture, now the bothers the Gemara is, so we're at this point over here, so why not include avodas kochavim and shivcha? So the Gemara says that. Huh?
Which is only
love. Which is, in other words, correct. It's right. It's correct. I took me a while to digest your point. Right. It's not even, right. That union between mom and dad are not even. It's not even in the sakaris. Yes. Correct. So amakra ba seishas avicha mishishal ishas avicha ba pratla choso mishivcha vavodes kochavim. So the Gemara says no, because there again we have to go back to that pasuk Yud Alef. It says eishas avicha. There has to be a degree of ishas. There has to at least be an institution of marriage. So Gemara says, institution of marriage. Oh, come on. Just a moment ago, we said, even if it's an iser kares, there's no institution of marriage by iser kares, and yet the resulting children are brother-sister. So Gemara says, Mistabra chavi krisus havalil rabos, shekin tafse behu kedushin la'ama. So the Gemara says, look, even if mom and dad are prohibited to each other through iser kares, but at least there's an institution of marriage. She, mom, could marry another Jew, But over here, when it comes to the Shivchan of Avodas Kochavim, there is no institution of marriage, meaning there is no possibility for mom to be married to any Jew in her current state. So the Gemara says, "Adar Rabbi Shivchan of Avodas Kochavim, Havel Ader Rabbos, Di Megari Li Didei Namitavs to be Kedushin." Okay, says the Gemara, I understand, but she can convert. So in her current state, there's no institution of marriage, but she can convert. The Gemara says, I foreshadowed this line yesterday, Lechi Megaire Gufa Achrina Hi. Gemara says, born again, when somebody converts, they're a totally new entity, Gufa Achrina, and as a result of that, that's not, her history has been totally expunged. It's no longer the Shivchan of Avodas Kochavim. Okay, V'Rabbanan, period. Okay, Adkan. So now that it was a lengthy description of what do we do with these two psukim, what do we do with the words Esha Savicha, and the answer is, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, it tells me that brother and sister only have the status of brother and sister if both parents are Jewish. Even if the union between mom and dad is a prohibited union, nevertheless, the resulting children are halachically brother-sister, and therefore prohibited to one another.
What is the difference where she was born? It says in the house or outside?
No. The Gemara Darshan, that doesn't mean in or outside the house. It means that's a description of the marriage. Whether the Torah says you can keep her as a wife, or whether the Torah says no, you can't keep her as a wife, that wasn't a marriage. Good. Now we turn back to the Chachamim. And here it gets a little bit more complicated for the Chachamim, because remember, according to the Chachamim, the Eishes Avicha was an actual description of the same Isser. Meaning when one has relations with a sister, he violates two Isserim in the Torah. One Pasuk Tes, the other Pasuk Ged Aleph. And so therefore for the Chachamim, I can't use this Pasuk now for another Drasha. I need the Pasuk for the simple pshat of one is violating two Isurim when one has relations with one sister. So now this idea that a man has relations with either a Shivcha or Avodas Kochavim and their resulting child, how do I know that in such a scenario, the brother and sister, although biologically brother and sister, are halachically not brother and sister? How do I know that? So Manalu Nafkalu Me'esha V'yalda Tiel Adonaha. So he says, well, we'll go back to Parshas Mishpatim, where there the Torah describes that when the Eved Ivri marries a Shivcha Kananis, which is acceptable, Torah allows that, but yet the children don't go with him. The children are hers. So in other words, that's an indication that in the world of Shivcha, the child is not your child. Now Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, yeah, I agree, but that pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim is only describing Shivcha. I need another pasuk for Avodas Kochavim, because they're not the same, and I need both. You see, by a Shivcha, there is no lineage whatsoever. When it comes to Avodas Kochavim, there is lineage. So, and in that respect, an Avodas Kochavim is better. And just because the Shivcha was excluded doesn't mean the Avodas Kochavim is necessarily excluded. On the other hand, Avodas Kochavim has no connection to mitzvahs of the Torah. Shivcha Kananis, on the other hand, obligated in all the losas days of the Torah. And the non time-bound mitzvah essay. So it's tzricha, and so therefore I might have thought that the child resulting from the Shivcha, the two children are considered brother and sister. Now we turn our attention back to the Chachamim. The Chachamim quoted the Pasuk in Mishpatim to tell me that if dad had a child with a Shivcha, the child is not his. Good. But where do we see in the Torah that if dad has a child with an Avodas Kochavim, the child is not his? Now, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. But remember, according to the Chachamim, that's talking just about the localized issue of brother and sister. So where do they generate the halacha, the larger halacha, the more global halacha, that having a child with an Avodas Kochavim is not considered your child? Or what the way we would describe it in our parlance is not Jewish. The Gemara says, now, learn from Shivcha Kananis. We just pointed out that you can't learn it from Shivcha Kananis because, again, the Shivcha has no Yichus, the Avodas Kochavim does. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochanan, I'm a Kraki, Asir has been Chamei Acharai. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk that describes that When you go into Eretz Yisrael, make sure that your children don't marry any one of the daughters of the Zayin Amamin, the seven nations, seven Canaanite nations living in the land, because Ki Yasir is Bincha Me'acharai. The pasuk says Ki Yasir with the Yud, meaning a description of the guy, is going to take your child. Meaning, if you give your daughter over to a Canaanite man, so he, the Canaanite man, is going to take your daughter, meaning your granddaughter, away. Meaning, whose child is it? Fundamentally, it's a Jew. So Ki Yasir is Bincha Me'acharai. Bincha Me'Yisrael is Kari Bincha. Vein Bincha Haba Min Ha'Obed is Kochavim Kari Bincha. But if I were to flip, instead of describing a Jewish woman with a Canaanite man, if we discussed a Canaanite woman with a Jewish man, then it's not your ben, it's not your son. So Ela Bina, it's hers. So Am Ravina Shmamina, sorry, pause for just a moment. That's where we generate the halacha, according to the Chachamim, that having a child with an Ovodas Kochavim is considered not your child, but rather their child, and therefore resulting brother and sister are not halachically brother and sister. Am Ravina Shmamina ben Bidcha, Bamin Ovodas Kochavim Kari Bincha. So Ravina says the conclusion is, it's a pretty straightforward conclusion, that your daughter married to an Ove Kochavim, that's still your son. Which would then mean that the Vlad is kosher, meaning no taint whatsoever in the Yichus. So the Gemara says, look, let's not go overboard. Let's not say that the child is 100% bona fide kosher. We're not going to say it's a mamzer. It's not a mamzer, but not kosher. Yisrael psul mikre. The Gemara describes it as being Yisrael psul. It has an element of psul. Now, halachically, what exactly that means, I'm not clear. Meaning, the Gemara attaches some sort of pagam to the resulting child. But halachically speaking, it's unclear exactly how would that manifest itself. Hai b'shiva umas ksiv. And then the Gemara is bothered by one more question, which is, isn't that pasuk describing the seven nations? Meaning we were making a global point from that pasuk, which is that if you marry anyone, any non-Jew, the resulting child is going to be, if a Jewish woman marries any non-Jew, the resulting child is going to be a Jew. But meanwhile, if you look at the pasuk that the Gemara quoted in its context, the pasuk was describing the seven nations. So the Gemara says, Ki Yasir l'rabbis kol hamasir. So the Gemara says, no, because the Ki Yasir is describing anyone who's going to take your child away from Yiddishkeit. So hanich l'rabbi shimon d'darsh time of the krah. Good. But what did you just do? You looked at a pasuk and you explained the pasuk. That's what's called time of the krah. You gave a reason behind the pasuk. That is done primarily by Rabbi Shimon. So Allah Rabbah Manalahu, but according to the Chacham, what are you going to do? Tana de Palag Allah de Rav Yos, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimoni. So the Gemara says, okay, let's make an introduction. Who is the Tana who is arguing with Rabbi Yos, Rabbi Yehuda? It is none other than Rabbi Shimon, who is Dorish time of the Krah, and therefore can generate this the global halacha that a child produced from a union of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman is Jewish. And even though the pasuk quoted in context is talking about the seven Canaanite nations, nevertheless, it is Rabbi Shimon's Dorish time of the Krah. It's because he's going to remove the child away from Yiddishkeit, which would not just be limited to the Shiva Amimim, but any Ove Kochavim. Okay. I understand, by the way, matrilineal descent, which, you know, is a big topic, that was the entirety of what we did. Obviously, in a more Gemara-esque fashion, where the drashas and two different opinions in terms of where it's sourced from, either comes from Vayikra Yurches Yud Aleph or comes from Devarim Parag Zion. But either way, in other words, but that's basically the discussion we just had. Okay, and now we begin. We are in Chav Gimel Amud Beis, and this Mishnah over here. Okay, hang tight and hang with me as we get through the Mishnah. Interestingly enough, once you get through the Mishnah, the Gemara is very straightforward. It's just a question of getting to the Mishnah. Okay, so we'll take the Mishnah step by step, and hopefully, again, I'll strive for clarity. Misha kiddush achas misha achayas. The man is mekadesh one of two sisters. Okay, he likes the family. really thinks it's a good family. He's got two daughters, and he's mekadesh one of the two daughters. Ve'en yodea eizeh men kiddush. Okay, there goes romance right out the window. He's mekadesh one of the two girls, but with really no recollection in terms of which girl he was mekadesh. Okay, I know how in the world did this happen? Meaning, did he look? Identical twins? It could be that there was a shliach involved, right? I know that the that would probably be the most plausible way to explain such a scenario. To be honest with you, at this point in time, I don't care. Meaning, it's not. In other words, right now we're interested not in how we got to this point, but what happens when you get to this point and the principles of suffix. So what results in this? So now here's the dilemma that he's facing. How he got here, it's interesting, of course, but we're focusing right now on what happens once you're here. The dilemma now is that there are two women, they're sisters, he can't be married to both, he was Mekadesh one, he doesn't know which one is Mekadesh two, and now what is he going to do? Now here's the problem. Okay, consummate the marriage. Problem, of course, is he doesn't know which one. And because he doesn't know which one, he can't arbitrarily just pick one of the two, because the one that he may choose may not have been the one. And that's what's called achos ishto. So it's a 50-50 chance, and it's Russian roulette on an issa d'oraisa, and so he can't consummate the marriage. On the other hand, now these women cannot go free, because one of them is right now currently married. So the solution is, noticing get lazer. So he's got to give a get to both of these women. So that's case number one, huh?
Are they considered grusha?
Yep.
Yeah.
Suffic grusha, but yes.
What about absolutely
suffic.
One of them is for sure.
Okay, good, but we don't know. That's called a suffic. Right, that's correct. That's correct. In other words, this resulted in now two women becoming disqualified for Kohanim. Okay. Meis v'lo ach echad. Okay, good. That was easy. So please, just stay with me, because that was the easy part of the Mishnah. Okay. Meis v'lo ach echad. Okay, so now, this person who was Mekadesh, one of the two sisters, doesn't know which one he was Mekadesh, and he's supposed to give a get to both, but he did not do so and he died. And now he's got a brother. And this is why we're discussing this now, because now we're discussing Yibum. Now again, the problem is very simple. What does the Yavam do? So Cholos Ishtehem. So he's got to do Chalitza to both of the women. Of course he's got to do Chalitza to both of the women. Once again, he doesn't know which of these women his brother was Mekadesh. He knows he has a Zika. He doesn't know which one he has a Zika to. He can't just arbitrarily pick, because the one he picks may not be the woman who was Mekudeshes to his brother, and as a result of that, that is now Acho Zekukaso. That is the sister of the woman that he's bonded to, which is rabbinically prohibited. So he can't just simply arbitrarily choose one of the two. And so there. And by the way, not only let me just explore this just a little bit more. Not only may he have married Acho Zekukaso, but that also means that there's a woman with a Zika who's now going to go and marry another man. That's Yavam Lashuk. Okay, so that's not going to be a solution. So the solution is Chalitza to both. Okay. Hayilo Shnayim. Let's say there were two surviving brothers. So again, we start with the same starting point for every one of these cases. You have a man married one sister, one of two sisters, doesn't know which one he married. And then he died. And now we are upping the case now to two surviving brothers. So one will do chalitza and the other one will do yibum. Meaning, obviously, this doesn't have to be this conclusion. It could be that chalitza will be done with both. But if one of the brothers wants to do yibum, here in this scenario, it is not plausible. Why? Because, again, let's think this through. One brother does chalitza to one of the sisters. So again, there's a 50-50 shot that either he hit the yavama, or he didn't hit the Yavama. If he hit the Yavama, perfect. So what did he do? He broke the Zika. The other sister now becomes perfectly available. Good. If he hit his Yavama, once again, if he didn't hit the Yavama, so what he did was just a ceremony, a strange shoe ceremony, and the other brother now is actually doing the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. It is strange, by the way, that a man now is in a position where he may be doing a mitzvah. He's not doing an isser, and he may be doing a mitzvah. Okay, so maybe maybe there'd be no bracha in such a situation, but okay. Kidmu v'kinsu ein mosim yadam. Now, let's say the one brother who did yibum got so excited that, in other words, that's the woman he's been thinking about his whole life, and now he gets a chance to do a yibum with that woman, and he's so excited, and he didn't wait for the other brother to do chalitza, or maybe he was afraid the other brother wasn't interested in doing chalitza, and he does yibum first, so ein mosim yadam. So there, the marriage does not have to be severed. Why? Because, again, those two possibilities are either he did the mitzvah of yibum, good, and if he didn't, achos de kukaso. You're not gonna. It's an issur de rabbanon, but you're not gonna break a marriage over achos de kukaso. And anyway, the other brother still has a chance of doing chalitza to the other sister and dissolving the zika. So achos de kukaso, truth be told, can even be resolved. Okay, shnayim shekishu shtei achayos. Okay, you know what's gonna happen. Every time we hit a new line in the Mishnah, all we're gonna be doing is just upping the ante. So now over here, we're going to complicate the case in the following manner. We're going to have two men, not related, who are mekadesh two sisters, Zaniyah de'ezu kiddush v'Zaniyah de'ezu kiddush, and both of them walked away from the kiddushin not knowing which one of the sisters they were mekadesh. Okay, so now, in such a situation, so all we've done is we've added now another man into this discussion, in the original kiddushin. So it's two and two. But again, these men are unrelated. So Zeno sen shnei gittim, Zeno sen shnei gittim. Okay, so first at this juncture, if we want to resolve this mess, each man will give both of the sisters a get. Mesu, let's say...
The get comes with money too, right?
Okay. Yes and no, but again, you'll forgive me. I'm not interested in anything other than what the points of the Mishnah are making. Mesu, Mesu. Lezeach, v'lezeach. So now let's go and describe now the death of these two men. And each one of them has one surviving brother. Zecholos Hashem, Zecholos Hashem. Right, remember, now with only one surviving brother, so there's only one proxy for each one of the dead men. So the proxy can't do anything more than the men themselves could have done. The men themselves have to give a get to each of the women, so too does the one surviving brother of each of the men. Lezeachav Lezeshnayim. Okay, now it starts to get exciting. Let's say now the two men died, each one being possibly Mekadosh, each one of them being Mekadosh, not knowing which sister they were Mekadosh. Each one of the men die, one has one surviving brother, the other has two surviving brothers. Hayachid cholitz l'shteyim. So here's what can happen. The one surviving brother will do chalitza to both. And so what did that accomplish? So we know that his brother was Mekadosh, one of the two sisters. So if there was in fact a Zika, he dissolved that Zika by doing chalitza to both of the women. Now, Hashnayim, now we turn our attention to the other man and his two surviving brothers. Echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. Sure, one will do chalitza and the other will do yibam. What about the fact that one of these women may have a Zika with the other guy taken care of already? Because that one surviving brother doing chalitza to both resolved the Zika from that end, and so therefore there's only one possible Zika. No, not possible. Definite. Just we don't know which one. Now there's only one Zika to contend with. So good. So now of the two surviving brothers, one will do chalitza, the other one will do yibum if the other one wants to do yibum. Kibum the kinsu and mosim yadam. And then of these two surviving brothers, if the one of them did yibum first, We're not gonna break up that marriage. Lazeshnaim v'lazeshnaim. So now we are at the pinnacle of all this discussion. Where now, again, two men were Mekadosh, two sisters. Each one of them not knowing which sister they were Mekadosh. The two men died. And now the two men have two surviving brothers each. Echav shozeh cholitz achas. V'echav shozeh cholitz achas. Well, the mission now is going to illustrate a scenario. Again, everyone could do chalitza and that would be fine. But now what the Mishnah is going to illustrate is a scenario where we can have both of these sisters get married off to one of the surviving brothers. First thing we'll do is we will have one brother from each surviving set do chalitza to only one of the sisters. And then, achiv miyabein chalutza so shozeh, Sorry, I skipped a line. Achiv shozeh miyabim chalutza so shozeh. V'achiv shozeh miyabim chalutza so shozeh. And then what you'll do is you'll have a brother from the other team doing yibum to the one that was to the one that was done chalitza from the other team. Okay. And again, if you think this through, and if you have a chart and you see it on the chart, it's even better. But if you think it through now, great. Because again, by him doing yibum to the woman who was done, who chalitza was done by the other, so the chalitza was done by the other resolves the possible problem that there's a Zika. If there was a Zika to the other family, problem resolved. And now for him, what's left? What's left is a Safek. And again now, if he's marrying his Yavama, great. And let's say the other woman was the Yavama. That's also going to be... Correct. So right, correct. So then all he's doing is marrying a Chalutza. Yeah. And assuming he's not a Kohen... Right, I'm dropping a hint for the upcoming Gemara. Assuming it's not a Kohen, that should be fine. That should be fine. So kid mushtaim v'chiltzu lo yivmu hashnaim ela echachos v'echa miyabim. Now let's say on one side of the two surviving brothers, they both do chalitza. So now the other side is kind of stuck. They both can't do yibum because again, there's only from their end only one woman with one zika. So they both can't do yibum. So then we're back to the one will do chalitza, one will do yibum. Kid mevikinsu ein motzi miyadam. And again, if they married, so we're not going to sever the marriage because again, at worst, what was violated was achos kukaso, and you're not going to sever a marriage over that. Okay, good. And that's a Mishnah. That's such a Yavamos Mishnah. That's great. Now, Shema Minah Kiddushin Shema Stone Labia Have a Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, okay, let's now back up for just a moment. Marrying a woman who you're not sure who the woman is. That's what's called, this is a classic discussion in the Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara here relates to it just very quickly. Kiddushin Shema Stone Labia. Meaning, one of the requisite requirements of Kiddushin is that you're going to have relations with that woman. Now, at the point of Kiddushin, granted, Bia is a one way to affect the Kiddushin. But the Gemara is just assuming right now that we're not talking about the Kiddushin Bebiya. We're talking about either Kiddushin Bishtar or Kiddushin Bekesef. In order for the Kiddushin to be effective, it has to be that there's a potential for Bia to occur. If not, it's not Kiddushin. Right? The classic discussion would be if she's a Nida at the time. Okay, but right now we're discussing it in our context in our Mishnah. What if... Right, or what if she's an Erva? If an Erva... You know, right. I mean, that Kiddushin won't even take effect to begin with. But here we're talking about a woman whose Kiddushin would work, but the problem is that it cannot be consummated. Here, if you're doing Kiddushin with a woman who you cannot identify, that's not Kiddushin. It's not Mosel Abiyah. So, Achav B'mayis Kinnah Kishukul L'Sof Nitarvu. So the Gemara says that at the time of Kiddushin, you knew who it was, and so therefore at the time of Kiddushin, it was effective because at that time, it was Kiddushin on Mosel Abiyah. And then afterwards, she got mixed up with her other sister. Here, it's easy to envision if they're identical twins. Okay. Deganami Diktani, the Gemara says, in fact, it's Meduyak in the Mishnah. Ve'eno yodea. V'loktani eni yadua. And if you look carefully at the wording of the Mishnah, it's eni yodea, not eni yadua. Yadua would indicate that he never knew. Yodea means he now doesn't know. Shema minah. So the Gemara says, and the point of the Mishnah would be all the subsequent points in the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah started off with the case of Kedushin and Get, but really that wasn't the end game of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was interested in the Yibum implications. And Dafka Michalas Vahadu Yivum, Eva Yivum, Bereisha Lo, the Kapagabachos, Kukaso. And the Gemara is telling us that if there were two surviving brothers, first Chalitza, then Yibum. Because if you do Yibum first, he may be being pogea in Achos the Kukaso. And so therefore, once one does Chalitza to one, resolves the Zika, the possible Achos the Kukaso issue. And so therefore, that's the point of the Mishnah. First Chalitza, then Yibum. And for some reason now, the Gemara goes to the same Q&A. If he didn't know he was Mekadosh, that's not Kiddushin. So so the Gemara says, no, same thing. He knew who it was at the time of Kedushin. Same deal. And the Gemara says, and what new point was generated in the case of one and two surviving brothers? So the Gemara says, well, the one surviving brother will do chalitza to both, and the two surviving brothers, one will do chalitza, the other will do yibum. Pshita, the Gemara says, look, it's obvious. Meaning, after having gone through the previous case in the Mishnah, we would have arrived at this conclusion. So, Hainu Reisha, Ma'u Detem Elixir Treyat Uchad. The Gemara says, there's a Hava Mina. I might have thought we may be Gzera. Because if there were one surviving brother to each, we know that Yibam is not an option. Only when there's two surviving brothers to one, Yibam becomes an option. Maybe the Chachamim will make a Gzera. I know it's strange. A Gzera usually is to prevent usual occurrences. I cannot imagine how usual an occurrence this would be. So Kamash Malan, V'davka Michlas V'adu Yivum Eval Yivum Ebreish Lod Tekapaga B'Yivam L'Shok. And again, first the one surviving brother has to do Chalitza, because if he doesn't, so then we're looking at a Yivam L'Shok possibility, because again, the one dead brother with the one surviving brother, if Chalitza is not done, that means that there's a Zika floating around and she's marrying now another man. So obviously the one surviving brother first has to do Chalitza. Again, we're up to the last case now of two and two. The Gemara says, isn't that the same thing? I might have thought that Yibum will be done without the complimentary Chalitza by the other brother. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, that's what we're learning over here. Okay. And let's finish up today with the following. Let's get to the Mishnah. Mishnah, the Gemara now wants to know, what we just learned in our Mishnah, how is that any different than a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta? Mehad it none. Okay, we'll see this Mishnah in just a couple of days from now. Arba achim shnai mehem nesum shtei achayos. Umesa nesun es achayos. Okay, it's a case we're going to hear a number of times. I believe we've already gone over this case once before in the Masechta, and we just get used to the construct. Four brothers, two of the four brothers married two sisters. The two brothers who are married to the two sisters are dead, and now leaving two surviving brothers. What do you do? Says the Mishnah. So the two surviving brothers will do chalitza, but neither of them will do yibam. And the Gemara is bothered by a simple question, that in our case over here, if there are two surviving brothers, one will do chalitza and the other do yibam. And that Mishnah over there, the two surviving brothers, they both have to do chalitza, neither could do yibam. Hachi hashta, the Gemara says, how can you compare the two cases? It's funny, when you think about it, the two cases are so not comparable. But the Gemara presents it, and the Gemara just goes through the basic differences. Hasam ilaman dam yeshika yeshika. First of all, that Mishnah, a four and two, four brothers, two sisters, there, look, if there's a Zika, meaning if you subscribe to the viewpoint of yeshika, so then obviously there's nothing to talk about. Because that means then that both of these widows have a Zika to the two surviving brothers. And as a result of them, as a result of that, they're prohibited. Because granted that, yes, it's true that he could do Yibam to one, but that at the same time, that's Achazuku Kaso. And not possibly, definitely Achazuku Kaso. So that it can't, so if you hold the Zika, then there's nothing to talk about. And Elam on Damar Salvatam and Sosivamim, and if you don't subscribe to the Zika principle, so, but still, what happens is you may be neglecting the mitzvah of Yibam. This goes back to a discussion we had earlier in the Masechta. Neglecting the mitzvah of Yibam, what does that mean? Meaning that one brother will do Yibam to one of the sisters, and maybe before the other brother gets a chance to do Yibam, maybe that other brother will die. And I know we're usually not worried about death, but, and Tosus asked this question earlier, but maybe the other brother will die before having done Yibam, and therefore will neglect the mitzvah of Yibam. So that in the case of 4 and 2, both have to do chalitza, either because of a Zika issue, or because we're neglecting the mitzvah of Yibam. But over here, of Ahacha, right third line down, Kochad v'chad emor didei kamistram yalei. But over here, remember, there's only one Zika, because it's not that both women were married to the brother, only one of the women were married to the brother. So now a plausible argument can be made that either he did the mitzvah of Yibam or he married the other woman, but it's not two definitive zikas, it's only one zika. Gemara goes on, Kidmer v'kinsam em motzin, Tanishila ve'afil shneim kohanim. Okay, now we're, right, I foreshadowed this point earlier in the Mishnah. And let's say you're marrying a chalutza, or a possible chalutza. Right, remember, we're talking about the case of two and two. And in the case of two and two, one of the brothers from this side will do chalitza to one of the sisters, and one of the two surviving brothers on this side will do chalitza to the other sister. And then the other two can do the mitzvah of Yibam. Because either, what are your two options? Either you did the mitzvah of Yibam, or you married a chalutza. But either way is fine. And now Rav Shila says, and even if those two surviving brothers were Kohanim, it's still okay. Why? A Kohen's not allowed to marry a chalutza. I'll give the answer, and then I'll just read in the Gemara. The answer is, chalutza is only an Issa d'Rabbanan, not an Issa d'Oraisa. So we're talking about an Safek Issa d'Rabbanan. Safek Issa d'Rabbanan? Fine. That's the answer. Let's read inside the Gemara. Okay, Gemara says it pretty straightforward. It's an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's a Safek Issa d'Rabbanan. The chalutza d'Rabbanan, the Gemara says, really? V'atanya, grusha ain't li ala grusha, chalutza minayin, parshas amor, kohanim, v'isha, tamalomer, v'isha. The v'isha is coming to include a grusha. Thank you. A chalutza. So the Gemara says, midrabanan hu, cross machtabama hu. So the Gemara says, that's just a din d'rabanan, and the fact that the Chachamim attach it to a pasuk, you've been with us long enough with the daf, you know, the Chachamim do that. It's what's called an asmachta. But really, maker a din, it's a din d'rabanan, that a chalutza cannot be married to a kohen. And so therefore, in our scenario of two surviving brothers on each side, even though, yes, it's possible that one of them is marrying a chalutza, but that's a suffix, and that is a suffix on an issa d'rabanan is allowed.